Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters-Law, my co-host, Eddie Richard, and we have a special different show for you today. Eddie and I are live together for the first time doing a show. So we're rocking and rolling. We usually start out with, hey, what are you drinking? What are you drinking? Well, we're both drinking Happy Dad, hard seltzer, fruit punch, getting ready to rock and roll before the Ducks game tonight against Arizona. So how you doing, Eddie? How was Christmas? Everything good?
Yeah, it's actually cool. I can see you. And man, this is actually new. It's fun. And Mike forgot one thing. The Happy Dad seltzer is called the Big Papa. So we are drinking that. I guess, Mike, you are the Big Papa since you're the head honcho of the show. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Surprise everybody. We're going to be at the game today. And after this show gets released, you guys will probably see us on the big screen. We'll be right behind the Ducks players. Hopefully, I'll be doing a show in 2 weeks. If not, I'm still in jail for jumping over the ice and sitting with the players. Let's see if this Big Papa doesn't treat me wrong tonight. But yeah, I'm good to be here. Mike, thank you for having me over. It's going to be a fun time. What a way to ring in the new year. And something really positive toward the end of the year. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting the show rolling. And let's do it.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk about the games. Obviously, we'll talk about the Devils, Detroit, Calgary. We've got Seattle and Vegas. We actually went to the game against Calgary as well. So we ended up going to two games recently, or will be two games, you know, counting the one against Arizona. So we'll talk about that. We've got the Verbeek interview that he did recently with Shannon and Millard on the podcast. A lot of stuff there, kind of the State of Anaheim, if you will, podcast. We'll go over some of the highlights on there. And then we'll, you know, talk about the Ducks news as we usually do. A handful of fan questions as well. And then obviously finish off with our league news. So let's start out, you know, the Ducks.
Well, what's enough, yeah. Like, how was your Christmas, Mike? I'm sure everyone wants to know what to do for Christmas Day.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas was good. I spent the eve with the in-laws and then the day with my side of the family. And it was good. I do like doing stuff with the in-laws because they do a gift exchange. So
like a white elephant or
kind of, but there's no joke gifts. So okay. like there's a wine basket, a chocolate thing, gift cards, things like that, but you can steal. So everybody brings a gift and you can steal once it's stolen twice, then it's frozen. Yeah. So it's kind of like that, but it's kind of cool because all the adults do that. And then we just get the kids, whatever their presents. It just makes it simpler.
Yeah. And lots of alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one's easy. And then my dad, on my family, my dad's side, it's just more of like a potluck. We all get together and then same thing, just buy stuff for the kids. But it was good.
That's good to hear. I saw my mom. She came down, saw her on Christmas Eve. Went to Lazy Dog. That was one of the only things that were open on Christmas Eve. And surprisingly, it wasn't packed, so it was cool. We had the, like, super great service, the Lazy Dog in Montclair. My mom was saying she'd never been there. The server heard it. Then the manager walked up to us and gives us like a free appetizer on top of the other ones we ordered. So I don't know. Like, they probably thought we were like those secret shoppers or something because they were being overly nice. But it was a good experience. The pot roast too at Lazy Dog, if you guys ever had it, try it. That was amazing. My mom got it. I kept picking off her plate because it was just too good. But after that, I just went to my buddy's house, had a few beers, went to Fridays, and then kind of hung out Christmas Day. Little hard for me this year, but I just pretty much stood home and talked to my buddy, other friend, and didn't do anything. Laid down, slept. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do anything for Christmas, just kind of enjoy it and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this New Year's Eve weekend. I don't really have any plans, probably just hanging out with my brother. How about you, Mike? Any plans for New Year's Eve?
Just be at the game. We'll be on that Sunday night game.
Oh, that's right. 5 o'clock.
Yeah. But then I work the next day at the crack of dawn. So I'll hopefully we'll go to, you know, my better half and I will go to that game, come home, watch the ball drop in New York.
Yep.
And then go to bed because I got to get up at the crack of dawn. Unfortunately, I got to work. So that's the plan.
Okay. So New Year's resolution for the Ducks this upcoming year, what would you pick? On the spot question. I just popped in my mind right now. So I don't even have an answer, but.
I mean, for them, I just want them to be more consistent. That's kind of the biggest thing, which we'll talk about in these games, where we've seen some great games, obviously against Detroit and New Jersey and Vegas, But then we saw some not so great games against Seattle and Calgary. So I want them just to be more consistent and probably healthy too, because we'll talk about injuries too, which has been a big problem. I mean, what do you think?
I want to see a goalie fight, number one. But no, you know what? Consistency is key. I want our players right now, I want them to keep stepping up. I want this year they come in with a new goal, a new focus in mind. Zegras is back. Drysdale is back. When Carlson gets back, I want all them three of our futures, including Terry too. He's part of that. I want them to elevate their game and step up. Not necessarily steal and win games. Obviously, this season's a lost cause. They're still rebuilding, so no one's blaming them for that. But I do want these players to take that next step and take that little challenge for themselves and play out of their comfort zone, change their game from time to time. If the points aren't coming in, then alter your game, fix it, do those little things. Be that meat and potatoes kind of guy, block shots, play, be more defensively sound. Change up your game until you get that monkey off your back, like Terry did. Terry went 18 games without a goal, finally got one, he starts heating up. So that's what I want to see. That's the whole New Year's resolution that I want the Ducks to kind of go by this year, upcoming year.
Yeah, you get no disagreement for me. I feel the same way. I feel like this team, certain players have been on, and then others are off. You know, they're not consistent period to period, but then also with players. You know, if we can just get them all like scoring at the same time, it would be great. But like you mentioned, we got Zegras and Drysdale back. McTavish, too, finally. I mean, they've only played, you know, four games going into this Arizona game. Together this season, which is crazy, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the show. But the Ducks have been playing better recently. They finished a road trip where they beat New Jersey, they beat Detroit. They then came home. My better half couldn't go, so Eddie went with me. We saw them lose to Calgary, unfortunately, and then obviously some injuries in there that we'll talk about. And then they lost to Seattle as well, and then the big win against Vegas. But I was impressed on this road trip with these two games that they finished, Eddie, because they jumped out ahead on the Devils, ended up winning that game. You saw Henrique get a hat trick, which it was his first ever. I didn't even know that. As you pointed out, too, Terry scored, and he's been doing better as of late. And then you had the Ducks also jump out 3-0 on Detroit. They kind of faltered in the third period. Granted, it was their third game in four nights, but I liked what I saw on the Ducks on the road in these two games, because you know things didn't go so well for them in New York against the Islanders and the Rangers so much, but they were able to win these two games, salvage the road trip, and we saw some really good hockey, especially in the beginning of both those games.
Yeah, and go figure, Henrique scores against his former team, a hat trick, and that was kind of a weird stat too. I thought he would have the lengthy career that he's had. I thought he would at least have some kind of hat trick, but he didn't. So, but that was good for him to get that. You know what? I don't think any of the Detroit fans, besides them hating their team going down against the Ducks, I don't think anyone was mad about in that building seeing Henrique get that hat trick. He was real loved there, and I'm sure that every time he goes back to that arena, there was a few signs I saw too during the game that, hey, welcome back, we miss you. So that's always good to see when you have fans still cheering for you. You can always kind of tell what kind of player you are. And we can see that as Ducks fans, too, how he is. But, yeah, that was a really good good thing he scored that. I think the Ducks took advantage of New Jersey. They're having goaltending issues, which we'll talk about later on with trade rumors. But they can't get anything going with the Curry Smead. He had that great sensational rookie season last season, but it seems that sophomore slump is getting to him. And it seems like the Ducks took advantage of that. You know, that was one of the main factors. The Ducks did play well in this game. They did get Vanecek back, but there's still a question mark in New Jersey of what's going on with your goaltending. They have a lot of the tools they have to be some kind of success, not to make the Stanley Cup final, but to actually have success in the earlier rounds in the playoffs, but their goaltending is going to be the issue. And I don't know why. I think I have some bad blood from way back in the day, but it was actually amazing to see them beat Detroit. You know, Detroit still came back and almost came back, but it was cool. And then Dostal almost scored that goalie goal. Holy hell. I would have lost my mind. If a goalie gets into a fight tonight, or if they score a goal tonight at the game, like, I'm going to instantly black out. I'm just going to just go up to there and be like, hey, just keep pouring until I black out, because I'll go nuts. I'll lose my mind. I'll be the guy that's naked behind the Ducks bench or something, because that's something I want to see. No goalie in Ducks franchise history has ever scored a goal, so that's going to be special when it happens. It's going to just light up the whole world, and hopefully we can see that. You know what? My new New Year's resolution, I hope it's a goalie fight or a goalie scores a goal. That's something I really want. I'll take that for my birthday. My birthday is next week, so I'll take one of those.
No, I'm right there with you. Those are probably my two favorite things, is a goalie fight and then a goalie scoring. And you're right. I mean, Dostal almost had it in this game when he launched it. It looked good. It just went wide of the right post and to the side. I really thought he was going to score. And, you know, he did do it in San Diego playing for the goals, obviously. But you're right. No actual Ducks goalie has done it. That was, I believe, the closest we've seen it. So that would have really sealed the deal for the Ducks in that one. I mean, they still won 4-3. Penalty trouble obviously hurt them towards the end of the game. And obviously they looked tired having played 3 games in 4 nights. But for them to pull out these 2 wins was huge. And then to come back home, you know, riding that. And we thought it was going to be good. Eddie ended up going with me to the game against Calgary. And, I mean, oh, my God. This game was very, very frustrating. The Ducks did not score. Calgary won 3-0. And we witnessed Carlson getting hurt, which at the time Eddie and I talked about it, we thought he was done for the season. I mean, I can say that now. I didn't want to say it at the time. I almost did on X, or it used to be Twitter, and Eddie commented on there like, hey, I mean, we both saw what happened. I thought, oh, my God, he's done. And you know, we had the Swedish news come to the rescue. They said, hey, it looks like it's only going to be 4 to 6 weeks, some kind of MCL injury. Then the Ducks came out and they confirmed it, MCL injury, 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, that was like, I guess, the only positive out of that game, because the Ducks couldn't get stuff going in this game. I believe they gave up like 25 shots on goal in the second period of this game against Calgary. I mean, this game was extremely rough. So frustrating to see them play overall pretty well against New Jersey and Detroit. And then we go watch this game against Calgary, and it was just a rough one. It was a rough one to watch. I mean, Eddie and I always have a good time together, but I think out of all the games that we've been to, I don't remember a game where the Ducks didn't score when we were in attendance, Eddie. This might have been the first time.
Yeah, it's the first time they got shut out, and I had to drive home with my tail between my legs, all sad and upset. But just to kind of rewind, there's some positives. Obviously, we got the hangout. See, the big papa's getting to me already. But I want to give a shout out to Tilted Kilt. We went there. I haven't been there since we had the issues when they refused to play the Ducks game during a Ducks official watch party. But we went there. The staff was great. And the prices for the beer and food, it weren't that bad. We didn't have to break the bank to spend it. It was pretty good. So that's a positive. Yeah, it did suck. I think it's the first time we've ever been to a game where we didn't cheer for the Ducks scoring. And then when Carlson went down, the entire arena just went dead silent. Like, it was just crazy, including Flames fans too. Like, there was no one cheering, or it's everyone just went to a dead stop. Like, holy crap, everyone's holding their breath. You had one of the Flames players, I forgot his name, I tweeted it out too, but he was the one that was like calling for the trainer real quick. So that's the respect that he had. And that injury, I'm surprised he's not done for the rest of the season. Like, we were talking about it right now prior to us recording, Mike. You did mention that the Ducks might keep him off like a little more than he should be out, but that's understandable. That's okay. You want to protect your asset. You want to protect your second overall pick. And I'm just so glad that we're going to be able to see him come back this season. I hope he just comes back in full stride and he kind of continues where he left off, because he was just building and playing really well. And when he comes back, if his ankle or his leg is fine, I'm sure we'll see him. Not kind of like load management, but he'll probably like finish the remainder of the season and play every game, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eddie, on that. I think with Carlson being out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, like we talked about, I think it's kind of generous. You know, maybe the end of January, but probably February. The other bad thing that happened about in this game, too, that we found out just recently, too, is that Gudas got hurt towards the end of the game as well. He has some kind of ankle injury that he's dealing with too. So it's just frustrating with this team. As we talked about the New Year's resolutions, as I said, this team can never like fully be healthy. It seems like we had Drysdale, you know, in the beginning for 2 games. We had Zegras for a handful of games. Then he was out. Then McTavish was out. We get those guys back, but now Carlson and Gudas are out. It's just like, it's just frustrating. You don't want to say the team's cursed, but it's just like this. Seems, at least the last couple seasons, has kind of been a reoccurring theme, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that basic question, who are the Ducks trainer? And maybe it should be time to start looking at different options if these injuries keep happening each and every season. Obviously, it's hockey is a hard physical sport. Injuries are going to happen, but it seems like some other teams have less injuries than others and they play the same well, if not more physical than the Ducks. So, like, what's going on? How come these injuries? Obviously, the Carlson thing, that's just a freak accident. It was no one's fault. Just you fell wrong, and unfortunately that happens. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. But it's just things like that. I think the team should look into it. Like, hey, well, how can we keep these players healthier? How come their body structure get stronger and things like that? But it's just really unfortunate, and hopefully we can get past this. Hopefully it won't be an issue moving forward. I mean, there's only so much bad luck the Ducks can have, right?
Yeah, you would hope, right, with the way that the season's gone. I mean, man, like, even with Carlson, too, you think about it. He got injured in practice earlier in the season, right at the start, remember? So I'll kind of hold some comments on that, though, because we're going to talk about Verbeek in a little bit of an interview he did and talk about the Carlson plan. We'll talk about how it's basically changed, obviously, but we'll go into it.
Well, didn't Carlson get hurt preseason too, or training camp? I think it wasn't too bad, but it was something going on with him. He got hurt then too.
That's what I was talking about. It was when he fell awkwardly doing some drills.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because, you know, an 18-year-old kid, the body frame that he has, you know, he's 6'3". Maybe it's just the strength's not there yet. It's only going to get better as time goes on. Maybe that's a factor with that. Obviously, this last injury, that's nothing on him. But the training camp thing, obviously, he's there. He wants to impress number two overall. He wants to show what he's like. Kind of overdo that. But I don't know. Maybe that's some reading into it more than that, too. But
no, I mean, it's you know, it's a valid point. I mean, luckily he's young too, and he can recover soon. So I think that's part of it that helped him, because, you know, he ended up with a strain as opposed to MCL tear, which is kind of what we thought maybe was the initial deal. So it kind of lucked out. And like you said, it was just unfortunate. I mean, there was no bad intent by Weegar. He just landed on his leg. And when you and I saw it in person, we both just like gasped. Just like the other 17,000 fans at Honda Center, I was just like, oh my God, this poor dude, man. I mean, you know, I love Leo, love the way he's playing, and he's already had to overcome, you know, two injuries now in the season. But I'll hold the rest of the comments about, like, kind of what Eddie and I think is going to happen moving forward, just because it ties into some other stuff. But
well, you know what, though? The only positive thing we can say about this, too, at least the Ducks aren't a shit show like Calgary. Calgary, there's no one that wants to sign there long term. They had Tkachuk had to leave. He didn't want to be there long term. I forgot the other player. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. He left. He didn't want to be there long term. There's talk about Elias Lindholm doesn't want to be part of the plan. There's another kind of higher, I think Tanev, I want to say. He doesn't want to be there long term. So there's players that don't want to be there long term. And Zadorov, too. He just recently got traded to Vancouver. He doesn't want to be there long term. I mean, with the trade rumors going around, Elias Lindholm, he's been rumored that the Avs are kicking tires on him. They're interested in him. But then also Vancouver, as of late, or this season, just kind of blown up. They were like top of the league. They started declining, but then they're, top three, top four in the whole entire league. They're proving they could be serious. Demko's having a redemption season, so I can see them trying to kick the tires and making that trade happen, which it'll be easier to make a Canadian trade because they have to go through visa issues. So, but yeah, I don't know what's going on in Calgary from their coaching issues, players not being happy with the coaches before, Zadorov calling out certain players, calling out his team, then saying he doesn't want to be there anymore. Other players don't want to sign there long term. So, I mean, it could be worse. The Ducks could be in that kind of environment where players don't want to be there and coaches don't want to be there. And they're blaming each other and everything and everyone on everything. At least the Ducks right now can accept responsibility, understand what they're doing, and we can just go from there and kind of fix the problems that we have, fix it together, not just trying to look for an out.
Yeah, you're right. The Ducks don't have those issues at all. I mean, you've seen the little videos that they do, especially after they win. They go in the locker room. You see them talking. You see the interviews that they do. They like Cronin and what he's doing. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit about Verbeek in a minute. So you're right. Calgary's a little bit of a mess. They gotta figure out some stuff. You know, I don't know that luckily, like you said, it's not our problem. The other game that the Ducks then played and then lost, unfortunately, was Seattle. They didn't have a good first period. They got down 2-0. They did play better and they had chances. They just couldn't score. Obviously, the big thing in this game was you had Zegras coming back. I had gone to practice the day before. He looked really good. You then had Carlson come out, so you thought naturally, okay, Zegras is going to come in and play for Carlson, which he did. He played on that top line, and Zegras pulled off another lacrosse-type goal, or the Michigan, whatever you want to call it, goal, and it was pretty crazy because my other half was with me, and she was kind of looking at me like, what just happened? I'm like, oh, he just did the Michigan, like, holy crap. So the Ducks ended up coming up short in this one. I thought they had a bad start, but then played better later on. But what did you think about the Michigan goal, Eddie? Because earlier in the night, Bedard had one too, and then that was kind of the big. Nobody really cared about what the scores were in the game. The big talk was the two, you know, Michigan goals.
Yeah, and both teams lost. By the way, both teams lost, but it was good to see. I know a lot of people, and I'm kind of one of those people. I'm more old school. Like I guess I like kind of the old school aspect of the game, meaning I like the physicality, the hard hitting. I don't think, and I'm not just being salty about Bedard, but Bedard is kind of undersized, and I think Zegras and Bedard would both have issues playing 5-6 years ago. It wouldn't be like that, especially Bedard, how tiny he is. I think that'd be an issue, and these Michigans wouldn't be happening. Now it's just, I'm biased, but I think Zegras had a better Michigan. Bedard's a little sloppy, and it seems like these players don't, because I've seen Zegras try the Michigan before, and players went at him, tried to attack him, tried to slash him. It was just kind of like they let Bedard do it. And I know the league protects him. That's their asset. They gave that pick to Chicago. I'm still going to harp on that and bitch about that until I die in my grave. Like, I'll bitch about the Chris Wagner trade in Philadelphia when I had to get up in the morning and cover that game when I was sick. I'll still keep bitching about that. I don't care. But, yeah, I like seeing these. I like these kind of plays. It's skills. I've tried it in the game. Obviously, I'm not that skilled, and the puck doesn't go my way. I just try it, and the puck's over there, like 20 feet away from me. I'm like, okay. I did, Mike. I don't know if I told you or mentioned this in the show. The Zegras assist, I was a part of it. My buddy went, flipped the puck over. Obviously, it didn't hit my stick. It hit me in the helmet and went in. I didn't have a little head moment, but it still bounced off my helmet and went in. So that's kind of a I'll shout out to my buddy. They're playing a tournament right now in West Covina. Eddie Montoya was the one that gave me that, that goal from his Zegras attempt to assist. But yeah, I love seeing this. I love that kind of swag. He comes back from injury. He lights it up still. And Zegras has kind of evolved this season. He was having struggles. He got benched. And normally it's like a player of that caliber. Well, hey, I'm Zegras, I'm all this attention, blah, 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 kind of prima donna, but he came at it as a challenge. He changed his game, and you can see that more defensive skill, that two-way play that he can, and that's what it takes to be dominant in this league. Look at Getzlaf, and I miss him to death. I miss him on this team, but he was that kind of dominant like presence. Obviously, they're two different players. Getzlaf would never... He had to like scream or put a gun to his head for him to pass the puck, or I'm sorry, shoot the puck. But he had that defensive responsibility, and I do like seeing that. I wish Zegras could be a little bit more physical, but I think that's kind of just one of those things that can tune his game up. But yeah, I think it was great to see. And Mike, I'm jealous because you guys were there. And you know what's funny? I almost went to that game too. I was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, kind of bored. I want to see, but ended up not going to that game. But man, I wish I would have. So I would love to see that in person.
Yeah, it was crazy because the way he was all the way in the corner and you see him start to go behind the net. And I mean, they saw the play. I mean, it wasn't like Seattle didn't defend it well. But there's this little small window in the corner and he put it right there under the crossbar, just over the shoulder of the goalie and in. At first, when I saw it live and I was looking, I wasn't sure if it went in from where I was sitting because it was just a little triangle in that corner. It was very, very tight. And then obviously, you know, the people sitting right behind the net start going nuts and the light goes off. And I look and I see the puck in the net, obviously. But on the initial thought, I was like, oh, I was like, it looks like he got stopped. And then it went in. So... that was amazing because he really had to tuck it in a tight little area and he was able to do it. But, yeah, I mean, crazy. You see them both, you know, two players do it on the same night. I didn't even know that Bedard did it either. The post-game interview with Zegras, he said he didn't know because he was playing a game. I honestly didn't know either. By the time I came home and was looking at highlights, then I saw it too, that, oh, Bedard did it too. I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know, but... The one thing that kind of bugs me, and a lot of you guys listening have talked about it, and I'm sure, Eddie, you know this, is that everybody's going nuts over Bedard and getting the you know, Michigan type goal, and then Zegers does it, and you know, he's not playing real hockey, and he's, you know, right, the flip boy or what, you know, all these stupid things at the time. I'm like, well, wait a second, Bedard just did the same thing. You guys aren't going to criticize him, but you're going to criticize Zegers. So that's one thing that rubs me the wrong way that I can't stand.
Oh yeah, after Bedard scored that, the NHL, everything went crazy. I think the people that run the NHL, including Bettman, they had to go change their pants after seeing that from Bedard. Sorry, it was inappropriate. I haven't used the F-bomb, so I'll just throw that. But it just seems that they're just overselling the player. That's why I mentioned on the earlier shows that no matter what the Ducks do, yeah, Minty playing, he's playing lights out for a rookie defenseman, or just a player in general. He's been playing with lights out. If Carlson was kind of at that neck and neck with Bedard, it was that Calder is gifted to him already. Mm-hmm. That's the league's investment. And hockey, it seems like it's losing kind of merit. And it's like, I know it's a business, but I think now it's like they're more focused on making the most money they can than actually having a game. And that's what sucks about it. But yeah, everyone went crazy for Bedard, but then, oh, God forbid Zegers does it. Oh, he's not a good player. He shouldn't be doing that. It's like, that's like a double standard. What's going on? It's like politics in the United States.
Yeah.
Like one side wants their side to be better, and the other side does the same thing. It's like the hell and the devil. Like, oh well, Zegers had a better one, so hopefully, you know what? It was a Christmas gift too. Allie Lozoff, she mentioned, hey, something about, and that's kind of a thing. You don't ask a player to do that, or you don't say the S word to a goalie. You know, the S word. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say that, but she did, and she's always really great in interviews, so mm-hmm. I think at the back of his mind, he wanted to get that, and he did. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Mike, we're going to be right there, right by the players. We should have brought a sign. Hey, my birthday next week, your birthday's coming up too.
Yeah.
Hey, we want a Michigan, or you know, I'll take a Zegers assist for my birthday, or lose my mind.
Or another Zegers type with you know, Milano or something. I don't know, something crazy, but yeah, you're right.
Or a hat trick too. Oh, I said it, damn it.
That's well, we did have a lot of those earlier in the season.
I wore a hat on purpose today, too, just so I can throw it. I didn't want to do my hair, though. It's just lying. I just threw some gel in and just threw a hat on, so.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I was lazy.
But you know what? You did talk about Zegers and his overall game has improved. And you did see that in the next game he played against Vegas. The Ducks, I couldn't believe this. They came out strong in this game, dropped 4 goals on the Knights in the first period. But I was impressed with Zegers. I was really watching him even more in this game live in person, seeing him shut down other players and not give them as many opportunities. And I like seeing that. And I think that's something that some people, you don't see as much. He's developing that overall game better. Yeah, he hasn't scored as many goals. Yeah, he hasn't been as flashy or whatever you want to call it. But he's learning to play the two-way game a lot better. And I think that's huge for him. And in this game, oh, it's just crazy. I was talking to our buddy Ken, who runs the Sinbin Vegas podcast. He texted me during the game, like, I didn't expect that after the first period. I go, oh, neither did I. You know, the Ducks jumped out to that lead. Vegas did fight back. They got a couple goals in the second period. But the Ducks were able to, you know, win. You know, another one that looked good in this game was Leason. He had 2 goals in this game. So, I mean, but this is crazy. Another stat that a lot of people, I think, kind of overlooked, Eddie. This is the first time the Ducks have beaten Vegas in 2 consecutive matches. I that's a crazy stat to me because Vegas is usually on us. We've had a hard time playing them.
Yeah, and I was going to mention Leason too, so I'm glad you brought that up. He has a career high in points this season. I think I want to say it was 11 when I just checked right now. That's good for him. He found his footing with the Ducks after coming over from the Capitals. It's good to see a player like that that works his ass off each and every day. He's that kind of grinder kind of player that you need. Puts the teams first, so it's good to see him get rewarded. And yeah, honestly, Mike, I'm not trying to sound like a shitty fan, but I thought this game was locked. I thought they were going to lose, and I was going to get a nice little fantasy win because I have Logan Thompson, but obviously, no, that didn't happen. But you know what? I'm glad, though. It's always good to kind of get Vegas back in check and their fans in reality because they think they're untouchable and their shit doesn't stink. But Vegas has been on kind of a downfall. They started off really strong. Mm-hmm. I finally think the Stanley Cup hangover is kind of getting to them a little bit. And not just talking about them drinking all summer and stuff like that. No, wearing and tearing your body that way for that long, and then them starting off as hot as they did. I mean, you can't. There's only so much you can do. You can't go up any further. Like once you reach that heavens, you're gonna get denied and you're back down. So I think right now they're struggling through their issues right now. I think they'll be fine. I'll be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. If they don't snap back and get some of their guys that are injured back. You know, Vegas likes to do some extraordinary moves during the trade deadline and kind of just send players away. I'm hearing, too, Alec Martinez might be one of those players that they might just give away just to get that cap relief. Aiden Hill, I think this season's proved that he's not just that third stream. He just came in and kind of filled a void. He's actually doing a really good job, minus his injury. Logan Thompson, his sophomore season, coming back from a big injury. He's been inconsistent since he's been back, but he's been playing some great games. He had a bounce-back game, too, yesterday after that back-to-back, the first one he lost. So I'm just glad to see that the Ducks actually can find that way to win against Vegas, because it's always been frustrating. And it gets to your head, too. Like, look at the Calgary Flames. They didn't win at Honda Center for how many years? I mean, that just gets imprinted in your mind, and you just get used to it. So I'm glad the Ducks find it, and I just hope they keep beating Vegas. That's fine. I take the Kings and the Wild. I want the Ducks to win. And now the Arizona Coyotes. Like, Mike, remember, I mentioned, too, there's always kind of, like, bad blood for some reason. Like, the Coyotes and Ducks just not been getting along the last few seasons, and I hope we get a lot of that right in front of the Ducks bench so we can get some good footage of that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They had the whole thing with Terry recently against Arizona. Remember, he got his you know, face bashed and all that, and that was a big ordeal.
And that piece of shit announcer, too, from the Coyotes, I forgot his name. He was just talking about how it was Terry and Zegras' fault for being flashy. It's like...
Yeah, they were talking about them being too much of showboats or something like that. Yeah. Some kind of term similar to that. It was like, well, wait a sec, man. You know? But you're right. Yeah, it seems like Arizona's been a rivalry now, recently. The Kings, not so much. San Jose, not so much. Vegas, maybe a little bit. They did beat Vegas earlier in the season, handing them their first regulation loss. That was when Vegas, I believe they were like 11-0-1 at that time. So we kind of slowed them down. That's when we were on our winning streak. Then obviously we had that long losing streak. But yeah, anytime you can beat Arizona, San Jose, the Kings, or Vegas, I mean, basically any division opponent, but I would say those four... You got to be your top ones right now.
Minnesota for me, Mike.
Right.
You know, I've ever asked you, Mike, what other team that you hate just for no reason? Like, I hate the Wild because the altercation I got into with their piece of shit fans over there at that time called the Pepsi Center in Colorado. What other teams do you just despise of? I know you follow the Penguins, too. You like the Penguins. There's something kind of like the other team where you just secretly in the back of your mind you hate.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean...
I said team, so don't mention San Jose, because I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
Yeah, they've had their issues, too, obviously. though San Jose was opposite. They started out terrible, and now they're actually playing okay. You know, you couldn't go much lower than how they started. But
you could. Look at Chicago, when they had all their piece of shit stuff that happened, but...
You know what? It's probably Chicago, you know, because I'm still... butthurt about when they beat us in the Western Conference Final when we were up 3-2 and we ended up losing that.
Yeah,
you know, we should have won that. I think Chicago's still a team that I can't stand, especially, and like you talk about their fans. When we had those Black Friday games, and my other half and I would go after Thanksgiving, and all those Chicago fans show up, I would lose my mind because you know half of them live in South Orange County.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like give me a break, man, and it just kills me. I think, yeah, I would say if you're taking another team outside the Pacific Division, for me, it would probably be the Blackhawks. I can't stand, other than all the other stuff you and I talked about with the others. I'm not even going to dig into all that. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. But just playing them in general, you know, because you remember back in 2012, 13, 14, 15, it was the Ducks, it was the Blackhawks, and it was the Kings.
Yep.
All those years. And who was the one that didn't win a Stanley Cup? It was us. We didn't win. We won all those Pacific Division titles, but we
couldn't get over that.
Yeah,
hump.
We got eliminated by the Kings. We got eliminated by the Blackhawks. I mean, of course, we hate the Kings, but outside the Pacific, I would say it'd be the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's a good point. And not all their fans, but some of their fans are just stupid as hell. They're dumb. Like I was drunk one day and I was arguing with a Blackhawks fan, and he was just going back and forth. I'm my buddy, look. Name me your captain before Jonathan Toews. Name me the captain of your team. I'm all, go ahead and Google it. I dare you. No response back. Because if you ask a lot of them, those fake fans that just show up when you're winning, it irritates me. I get it. People don't want to watch a losing product. But it's like, if that's why I like the Ducks being in the position they are, because it kind of shows you who the fans really are. like I saw Jen, you know, Jen will be at the game. Those Ducks can go 0-82, just like myself, and, you know, we'll still be at games. Mm-hmm. I'll still be complaining about the beer, but I'll still be there cheering my team. I'm not going to jump ship or stop watching hockey. But, like, Chicago was nowhere before they started winning. They had those three cups, and now a lot of their fan base thinks they're hardcore Chicago fans when they can't even name who the captain was before. It's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's got to be the one for me that irritates me outside of the Pacific Division. All right.
So can you name the last Ducks captain?
What, before Getzlaf?
Before Getzlaf. No.
Wasn't it Niedermeyer before?
After Niedermeyer. Uh-huh. Remember who got that? It was Pronger. Mm-hmm. And then it was Solani for this last game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to look that up, too. I want to see if that actually counted. If Getzlaf got the C taken away, or that was just done. Because I know when you name a captain, alternate captains, you have to file paperwork with the league. I wonder if that was actually just filed paperwork, because Solani did wear that C the whole game.
I don't know. That's a great one. If any of you out there listening, you know, because I forgot about that, because I was going to say Niedermeyer and Pronger were the ones before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
We should ask Lonnie when we see him next week. Yeah. Or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks for that game, the whole legacy night.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Good point. All right, well, that kind of wraps up, you know, the games. We kind of went off on a little bit of tangents, as we normally do, as we always have fun conversation. The general manager, Verbeek, recently did a podcast, and he talked to Shannon and Millard on this Bob McCowan podcast. Kind of the state of Anaheim, I guess you will, because he kind of talked about the team a little more than a quarter of the way through the season. We'll just talk about some highlights on it real quick, because this is our next segment where we talk about kind of the Ducks, the team, the injuries, how they're doing, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll go into that, how the team did. It was kind of funny, too, a little story behind this. I posted an article, if you guys didn't see it, where it has this whole interview. So my dumbass, I saw this interview on YouTube, and I decided to transcribe it because it was only 10 minutes. So I thought, okay, cool. It was, I think, on a Friday I did it, or Thursday. I can't remember. I was telling you about it, Eddie. But I transcribed it, and I was like, okay, cool. And I get to the end of the 10 minutes, and I see a comment, and it says, oh, you guys didn't post all of the podcast. So I go to their actual, you know, platform where they have the podcast, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll transcribe the rest. Well, I find out the interview is like 40-something minutes. So just for you people out there, if you're transcribing this stuff, it took me hours to do this. If you read the article, there's probably typos in there. I'm sorry, but it took me a while. So you can go back and read it in length. I'm not going to go over all of it, but Eddie and I will just go over some of the highlights here.
It sucks to do that. I did that in college when I was writing for the paper and magazine, having to go back of all my interviews, and I didn't have that option to do that. I had to just have my recorder with me, record it. Yeah. I mean, I now it's like you can just kind of talk and type into the new the operating system that was it Windows has, not Windows, Microsoft has. Now it gets easier. Before, I had to sit there and pause, type, do notes. It was just hell. I remember I spent 12 hours one day working. We had a deadline. I had to just get everything submitted and done. So, Mike, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I know it's probably hard. I don't know if you're having some drinks too, so it makes it a little harder when you're.
It was rough, man. It's like you said, the thing that you have to do is like you listen to it, like you said, you pause. I type out a bunch of stuff, then I re-listen, go back, and then sometimes, like when Verbeek was talking, some of it was a little bit inaudible, so I'd turn up the volume and really try to listen.
Yep.
I tried not to drink too much because I wanted to not F it up, but. But he had a good interview on there, and there was some stuff that we'll just dive into real quick that affects the team. Just kind of the highlights, but like I said, you can go back and you can look at the whole thing. One thing that's kind of outdated, but he did talk about the Carlson plan. He did go into the whole thinking behind it, how it was fluid. He talked about Carlson playing so many games last year. That's why he set up this plan. And before he got injured, the deal was he was going to play every game in December except for the back-to-back games. And then it sounded like in January he was going to, you know, pull off the reins and let him go crazy. But obviously now that injury that Eddie and I talked about, we were there at the Calgary game. So what I think is going to happen now is he could come back at the end of January, but I think that, you know, Verbeek's just going to be cautious with him. I you know, maybe he does come back at the end of January, but, you know, with all the stuff going on, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that he, you know, he got injured at the very beginning of the season, I could see them being very, very cautious with him, Eddie, and maybe he doesn't come back till February.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 100% agree. I don't think he – I think they'll just they'll kind of just kind of baby it a little bit and let him come back when he's fully ready. I wouldn't be objected to, since coming back from an injury, him going to San Diego and playing some games, get top minutes over there, kind of get that stride a little bit slower. I mean, obviously it's a competitive league too, but it's not as fast, it's not as skilled as the National Hockey League. So I wouldn't be objected. And I think he can come back. An injury like that, he can be sent down to San Diego and play some games. I remember Shane Wright had that exception too of not playing a certain amount of games. He was able to not go back to junior but go to the AHL and play some games. So I wouldn't mind seeing that as a conditioning stunt to get him, like, kind of back to up to speed on it, and then slowly getting him back in the game. And just like you said, let him go wild for the rest of the season. Let him play. Imagine he starts playing, tears it up, and does better in points than Bedard. I mean, Bedard still gets the Calder. It's already, his name's already on there already.
Yeah.
The league would never let that happen.
Yeah, and now with the injury, of course, now there's no way with Carl, even if Carlson, say, made a miraculous recovery and came back in 4 weeks, it's still going to, you know, it's whatever. I mean, that part's done. But I'm with you. I mean, they could have some kind of conditioning stint. I thought it was interesting, too, the way Verbeek was talking about the team. He expected the team to be around 500, which obviously they're not. We've seen they've won about a third or so of their games so far to this point. And he also put it on the veterans in this interview. He wasn't talking about the youth and them being an issue. He thought it was more the senior people on the team. So I thought that was interesting. And then he said kind of what Eddie and I had talked about, and some of you asked too, is like, hey, where's this team at? When are they going to be a contender? Eddie and I, we've talked about 2 to 3 years, and Verbeek said 2 years. So I think his assessment's right on, Eddie, of where the team's at right now.
Yeah, I'm more leaning to 3 years. I think that year two, well, it'll determine what's going on with the team. If they didn't make a significant jump and stride to get to that point where they should be a contender, I think Verbeek has to go. Like, how long are you going to be rebuilding? Are you going to be like Buffalo? Buffalo has created a team that once they first established in the league, it feels like they're rebuilding. I know it's kind of a stretch, but I mean, there's so much you have to do. Like, sometimes you need to change. Like, you can't just, you know, hold on to the same thing. Like, Marie should have been gone a long time ago, and it's unfortunate that he had to be gone due to his, I guess, his behavior to staff and everything. But I think the Ducks would have been more successful if this change would have been made. So if that 2 year mark in 2 years, if they're not some kind of significant change, or not over 500, or not kind of in the cusp of making a playoff, a wild card spot, he should go. Like, if they're still bottom five, bottom 10 team, he should be gone and bring someone else in and not kind of rebuild, but kind of add to it. 3 years is something that Ducks should be a playoff team. They should be, you know, I'm not saying go win the Stanley Cup year three, but make it past the first round, make it past the second round, or lose in game seven, second round. Have a legitimate franchise player, which we think that Zegras is going to be, that Carlson is going to be. We need those players to just develop the right way. If we don't get that, obviously something's going on and something's kind of hindering their development, and Verbeek's not doing his job. But he's doing a great job so far, and there's nothing that doubts me that he's going to rise his team to the next level. But I mean, it's a good assessment, and we talked about this too numerous times, how many years it's going to take for this team to go. So we just have to get, I guess, rough through the storm, and hopefully this, I mean, coming up close to the second half of the season, the Ducks just can kind of fine-tune everything, and next season it will be even better. Like, I always said this season, I'm expecting the Ducks to be a bottom five team, get that top five draft pick. I mean, like, I'd be more than happy to get a third overall pick. Like, that'd be great. First overall would be ideally, but let's be real, Ducks aren't going to get that. But yeah, I like where this is going. I like the players that we're getting. I like the development, and I want to see more from them. And we have such a great pipeline. Like, Zellweger hasn't even played yet in NHL, and he's a stud. So once he comes in, we're going to just be loaded. I want to see more grit in this team. Yeah, if you want to be a contender, you have to go out and get some more grit. You got to get those physical. Like Gudas is in playoffs. I think he'd be the magic man. I think he'd be. I mean, he probably wouldn't win the Conn Smythe, but he'd be that in the consideration because the way he plays, the way the time and space he opens for players, and a lot of players for the opposing teams know when he's on the ice, and it kind of makes their brains kind of think twice about, hey, am I really going to go over there and try to cause chaos when I have to deal with him? No. So.
Yeah, he makes some great points. You know, we had Ostman55 on Instagram. He asked about Zellweger and, you know, said, hey, do we think we see him come up and play soon? Maybe not. I mean, I would have probably said yes maybe a week ago, but then you had Drysdale come back, and he's been playing good. But then now you have Gudas has gone out and has some kind of ankle injury, so we don't know where he's at. So maybe you do see Zellweger towards the end of the season. I mean, I think he's ready. He's been killing it with the goals right now. So you mentioned, you know, him. He's another one to look for this season. And yeah, I'm with you on the Ducks. I mean, we should be a playoff contending team within 2 to 3 years. I mean, if we're not by that third year, you're right. I think that we got issues. They should. And they've made improvements this year. You look at the power play, over 20%. You look at the penalty kill, it's right around 80%. They're both, you know, ranked 15th right now. They've kind of been between 10 and 15. And the special teams play this season, which has been better. We used to be really horrible last couple seasons. The goals is still kind of iffy. We're giving up, you know, more than 3 goals a game, and we're scoring just under 3 goals a game. So that, you know, there's still some stuff to work out. But you look at these games too, and what's happened this season. You know, Drysdale's only played in 5 games this year. Zegras has played in 14, and McTavish in 27. Not making excuses, but I'm just saying it's been a very weird year for this team. You know, we also saw Gibson was out this last week and a half. Congrats to him. They had their third child. So he came back and played fantastic against the Vegas Golden Knights. So, you know, there's just been a lot of stuff going on with this team this season. I think the improvement's there. I think they are playing better overall. I think this interview by Verbeek was pretty spot on what he talked about. Obviously, that was a couple games ago. But I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Every game, they're pretty much in it. They're competitive. Obviously, there's been a couple games, not so much. Of course, you know, we mentioned the one that we went to against Calgary, which is unfortunate. But it's not like last season. Last season was tough. I think this year, if they can stay healthy and start getting the chemistry, which Eddie and I talk about a lot, get all that kind of going towards the end of the season. And even if they get a top five pick, like you mentioned, Eddie, I would be good with that too. If they play competitive, get another high draft pick, and then just come out strong next season.
Yeah, I think their stock is rising. It's not declining, even though they're in a bottom three. They're what? It's like the Ducks, Chicago, and San Jose. So, but they're still, like, by the numbers, they're still better. Like, there was a time where we're dead last in every category. Like, it was just a big shit show. It was hard to watch the games, and it's hard to cheer. It was I was spending more money on alcohol waiting in lines. That was like my highlight of going to the Ducks game. But no, you see the improvement. You see everything that you and I have been asking for, Mike, for years. We want to see improvement. We want to see players kind of come out of their shell, and we've seen that. The Ducks have more. They have more swag this season than I've seen them in the last few seasons. We have a great head coach. I think they're afraid of him. I'm afraid to even talk about him. He looks like a scary guy. And I said, if he was at the bar and I had a girl with me and he bought her a drink, I'd be like, walk away. I'm not going to get involved with that. But no, I think they're buying into what he's feeding them. And I like what's going on, even though the Ducks aren't, you know, where they're supposed to be, what people want them to be. But hey, it's reality of it. This is what it takes to build a championship winning team. You can't just kind of build it from scratch or kind of accelerate it by getting, you know, spending all your money on X amount of players and it doesn't work out, it blows up in your face and you're just kind of screwed for even more years. So I like the progress and things that are going, like the numbers. As far as Zellweger, I don't think we should bring him up right now. Maybe toward the end of the season when teams already established and locked the playoff spot, when other teams already eliminated. So it's like, it's just kind of more like you're just kind of going through the motions and finishing out the season and letting him get to that thing. For some reason, Ducks usually play pretty well toward the end of the season with meaningless games, minus last season. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. I don't think it's going to be this season. I think, like you said, he might just get, I guess, his beak wet. A Ducks player, his beak wet for like 3 or 4 games. But after that, we'll see how training camp goes next season. But we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think the other part of this, too, that's kind of up in the air is obviously the trade deadline is going to come up. We talked about trade rumors. What is the team going to do? We had Brian Roby on Instagram asked, what about the Ducks goalie situation? I think it's kind of changed from the last show. We talked about New Jersey and Carolina, but it looks like Carolina's getting Anderson back, so I don't think that's in the cards anymore. Maybe New Jersey, we kind of talked about them earlier in the show, how they're having issues and whatnot in net. So, I don't know. And another question, too, we had K-A-U-N-A-L-O-A on Instagram asked, what about Perry? Which we talked about a couple shows two ago. Unfortunately, we don't even still know the truth about what happened with Perry. Eddie and I both said it was probably unlikely the Ducks would bring him back. I don't know. But some of the other names that we've talked about too is Henrique. Will he get traded? He just had that hat trick recently. His stock's gone up. He's been scoring more goals. I'm not really happy with Killorn and what he's done. I mean, I know he started out the season injured, but I'm willing to trade him. I'm a little bit impatient, but I'm not really happy with him. So I'm curious to see what they do at the trade deadline, Eddie. If they move Gibson, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We've talked about it. We thought it was going to happen in the summer. It didn't. Is it going to happen now? I don't know. Possibility. But what do you think as far as other moves? You think they do anything else coming up the deadline?
Well, I think they have to be sellers. They have to get rid of the people that aren't going to come back. Someone like Henrique, his stock's rising. A lot of players or a lot of teams will be interested in him. New Jersey, I can see them bringing him back. It's not unusual for teams to bring back other players, especially of his caliber. I mentioned again Colorado. If it doesn't pan out with Elias Lindholm, they can recircle back, and Henrique can actually kind of fill that void in the second line center. Henrique has the skill. He has that two-way center the way he plays. Also, he plays with that little bit of edge, too, because we've seen him be physical. We've seen him stand up for his teammates. They lost a big void in that second-line center when losing Kadri. A lot of other teams are now running three kind of centers that can actually play top roles. Vegas, too, with Carlson on the third line. Carlson can easily be a second-line center. For a lower team, he could be a first-line center. You have the Kings with Denault, and now they have Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like, a lot of teams are running three strong centers. So there'll be questions on him. Like I said last show, I'd be surprised if Henrique is not gone. That's just going to happen. And if he comes back, like we've seen the other players get traded and come back to Anaheim, then so be it. Gibson, and I know he has his family established and everything, and I like Gibson. I like what he brings to this team, but is Gibson going to play to that elite level in 3 years when the Ducks are ready to compete? I want to say, 4 or 5 years when they're actually legitimately Stanley Cup contending team, not just making the playoffs. Why hold on to him and lose him for nothing when you can just trade him right now while his value is still high? Obviously, you could have traded him 2 years ago and got a huge package. It probably would have been one of the biggest blockbuster trades in NHL history. But now you have to just settle on what you can get. You can still get a first. You can still get a prospect. You can get a roster. You can get something big for him, and a team can get what they want to push him to that next level. So I don't understand what's the need of holding on to Gibson right now when you're going to hold on to him and kind of, I guess you're hindering Dostal's performance too and how he can develop. You're not giving him the games each and every night. Yeah, you started him off strong. You played well, but that inconsistency in goalies, they want to play. They want to be there. You just keep rotating them out, it's not good for them. Like Carlisle, the biggest worst thing he did was, whoever wins the game stays in. Why are you putting that? That was the bonehead move a coach could ever done to a player. And it kind of showed that Ducks were horrible. The goalies, it just seemed like they were just kind of standing on eggshells. I have to win, I have to make the save. And not just kind of letting that last goal be short-term memory. I'm all for Gibson to be traded. I'm all for, our expiring contracts to be traded. Even Fowler, too, I know we have to eat some of his, a lot of his cap space up, but I think he could be valuable on another team. I'm not I'm not emotionally tied to these players where I want to keep them because they're Ducks players. No, I want assets to come back to the team and make this team better.
You know, it's funny, too, that you talked about that goalie situation with Carlisle. And I crack up about that because you look back at the goalie situation when they had Hiller in net, and that was an issue, too, when they were trying to ride who was better throughout the games and whatnot. And you can't necessarily just go by who keeps winning. You have to assess the situation. You have to look at back-to-back games and see how that's all playing out. If someone has a bad night, switch them out or whatnot. Someone needs a rest or whatever. So you can't just always go by, hey, this guy won, so he's going to play the next game. That's kind of silly to look at. But I'm with you. If you trade Gibson in the past, you could have got a higher return. Now it's not as high of a return, but you can get something for him. I think the other thing, too, we talked about the center situation with the Ducks. Lundstrom has been skating and practicing. He's supposed to come back in January. If you look at the Ducks, depth and center, they're not hurting. I mean, obviously, Carlson's out, but you have Carlson, you have Zegras, you have Lundstrom, you have Carrick, who's playing, obviously, in the bottom six and whatnot. So there's enough depth there. So I could see something happen at the center position.
I think Lundy might be out or something in Anaheim. They have a surplus of centers. I think you forgot to mention McTavish, Stromer, and Killorn, too. Killorn played some center when he was in Tampa Bay. So you have the three more centers. So I think Lundy might there's no way to really keep him if he wants to play a center position unless you want to start moving people around. I mean, you don't want to just kind of mess with the chemistries of what we have right now. Obviously, Lundy's not going to be a superstar player. He's going to be just kind of that bottom six role kind of player, which you still need. He still brings value, and I do like him. I like his game. I like how hard he works all the time, but we have numerous centers. And if the Ducks happen to get the first overall pick, that Salabrini kid, center too. So we have to start looking at options there. Maybe Zegras can move to the wing. He'll be better off scoring those goals. He has that wicked shot he can just lay. McTavish has that even better shot too. I don't know. I wouldn't want to move McTavish out of that role because he plays that role really well. And he's just kind of building himself to be that true bona fide leader for the Ducks. He's Mr. I guess he's a new Captain Sirius now. If he ever becomes the captain, you can't tell his age. He's just like way mature and older than he presents himself and everything. I love seeing that about him. And we've heard so many high marks about him and finally seen him come and kind of do what he was doing last season. So it's going to be good to see him continue to grow. And like I said, I can see him being captain of the Ducks, but I don't want to come next season and the Ducks not name a captain. I think that's there's no leadership. That's what the Ducks are really missing right now. Someone that can really kind of be that voice of them. Just sometimes there's too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. You have to really solidify that lead role. So when your team's going down or you start struggling or you start having that losing streak, someone can like get you back on track, yell at you and kind of get the team motivated and fired up. And I think McTavish is one of those. Would be a great candidate to be a captain come next season. Next season, if they don't name a captain, I'd be really disappointed.
No, I agree with you, and I think the happy dad is getting to me because I was talking about all the centers and I forgot McTavish. Like, damn, dude, I realized that right after I stopped talking. I'm like, wait, well, I forgot somebody.
It's like, is it 5% or 4%?
It's 5.
Well, you know what? We lied too on the show. We didn't mention that we took a shot of Pink Whitney.
Oh, yeah, we did
take that. Yeah, we had to take our inaugural shot from our first podcast doing it together.
And I did have a Red Bull vodka before you came over, so.
Okay, I had a couple shots too before I got in my Uber, so.
So I apologize to McTavish. I got a little buzz.
McTavish. Well, you could apologize to him in person today.
but talking about the centers, yeah, there's a plethora. And you're right, you could throw Strom in there. He's done that before. Maybe Killorn, not so much, but you could do that too. So, I mean, the Ducks aren't hurting at the center position. So, like we talked about, if they trade Henrik, I would not be surprised. And even like you said, if they were to do something with Lundstrom too as well, because he's more of a bottom six center anyways. So, just some things to keep in mind, food for thought, as we roll into 2024, which is crazy. I can't believe it's almost the next year, but the trade deadline will come up and we'll look at that. So we'll wrap up the show. A little bit of league news. Not a whole lot going on.
What fire a question, Mike. Sorry to interrupt you.
Go.
Popped in my mind. Who would be your most untouchable player from the Ducks right now?
On the team?
If you could put everyone on the trading block except one player. Because it's hard because we have a ton of great prospects. Who would it be?
Can I do like a top three maybe or something?
No, just you have to get number one. Number one you would not trade.
Oh, that's so difficult, dude. Oh, man. That's tough.
Because you could easily say, oh, well, you know, I can throw Dostal over there or he could be traded. But then you don't know his ceiling.
I know.
He can be a kind of a Vasilevsky kind of goalie. He could be...
I want to... Oh, man, for me, it's between like Zegras and McTavish. I think the reason why I lean towards McTavish is because, like you were hinting at, we've talked about on the show before, is just the whole captain thing. Like, I don't see Zegras as a future team captain. I see McTavish as a future team captain. So, I'd have to... That's a really crappy question, but I mean, because there's so many guys that I would not want, you know, but if I was forced to, like, hey, this is the one guy you have to choose, I think McTavish, because I really think that, like you said, the team needs a captain next season. And I think he's the one. I think he should be the next captain of the Ducks, and that's why I think I would go with him. But trust me, this is like splitting hairs.
Yeah, I'm feeling a gray hair or two coming in my head right now. But yeah, you're right. Everything you said, I think McTavish should be like my only untouchable. Even though it's hard to say with all the players that we have on our pipeline and on the roster right now, but I mean. I mean, if your better half heard this conversation, she'd be running out and saying Gudas, but but you know what? Yeah, I think McTavish would be my safe bet, and he's gonna elevate this franchise, and he's gonna lead us to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that would be my. I mean, again, that's a super tough question. Those of you listening at home, I mean, you know that's a tough one because I mean, you got Terry, you got Carlson, you got Zegras. You got Dostal in there. I mean, you still have Gibson too. You know, people, how do you feel about that? I mean, there's just a whole lot. There's a lot in there. But, the bottom line is everything's looking good. I see the Ducks trending in the right direction. That's the big thing, even with all the injuries this season. We'll finish off here. Just a couple little things. Not too much really going on in the league, but... We talked about Kyrou on St. Louis on the last show and how he got booed when he was talking about the coach. He was gone, but then he said he was not my coach. And then he comes in the next game and they cheer him. Just a weird thing going on in St. Louis. He got to explain his comments and then he went from zero to hero like in, I don't know, 48, 72 hours. It's just kind of a weird situation with the Blues, Eddie.
Hockey fans are weird. Hockey fans, I think it's one of those things. I mean, they shouldn't have booed him anyways if it was the wrong contents. Like, how are you going to talk about someone being fired? You don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's what he meant.
And they just, everyone blew up on him. But what makes the hockey fans forgive and forget is when you score a goal and you score a big goal like that and all is forgiven after that. The whole world, the whole universe. He could have caused... a shutdown and at Friday traffic, everyone would have hated him on Friday. He scores a goal Saturday, everyone loves him. So that's the way it goes. And I guess it's all clear, it's all good now. But it did kind of like suck that they had to really like ridicule him that much over there. I think that really speaks really low class of their fan base to put a player in that predicament, all because he didn't give you the answer that he wanted. Did you want like a blanket answer or a little statement that his PR person wrote for him, or you want him to be real? You want hockey players to have more personality and express themselves, and he just did. A lot of them aren't good at interviews. A lot of them don't like interviews. But he went out there and he said what he thought that it was the right thing to do, focus more on the team and not just on the person that was fired.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what he was talking about. He was just, it was more of, hey, he's not the coach anymore. I you know, there's no point really trying to, you know, discuss that because he's not here anymore. It's kind of what he meant. It wasn't to be dismissive of the coach. It was dismissive that, hey, why are you asking me questions? He's not here anymore. So, whatever. But all is good with them now. And it worked out, thankfully. But you're right. It kind of sucked the stuff that he had to go through for about 48 hours. The other thing that came up, we talked about him on this show, and he just keeps digging himself a bigger and bigger hole. But you know Nick Ritchie's playing over in the European League, and he, I don't know what it is, he didn't like getting checked in one of these games and decided to throw a player down towards the ice, throw a rabbit punch, and then it just came out that he got suspended 8 games. But man, what a dude that's fallen from grace. You know, used to, you know, we talk about prospects, and everybody's fan base does this. They're always, you know, up and high up on their prospects, and then, you know, some of them work out and some of them don't. You know, it looks like Carlson's going to work out. We're very happy with him. Well, one that didn't is Richie, and yeah, this latest display of stupidity by him is just ridiculous. I'm glad he got suspended 8 games. I honestly thought it was going to be 10 or more, but man, this guy has just fallen completely from grace, Eddie.
Yeah, I want to say, and I did tweet out too, I think he's one of the biggest draft busts of Anaheim Ducks history, Anaheim / Mighty Ducks history. Mm-hmm. I know there's another one. I want to say his name is Chitov, a Russian guy. He was a really high draft pick too, and he was a bust too. But Richie, I'm glad that it's kind of hard to say wishing someone's career goes down the drain, but like I said before, you guys heard the stories back in previous podcasts. He's a piece of shit, and this just proves it and proves it more. He's just a couple seasons more, he'll just be playing beer league in the same antics he is. He's not a hockey player, and what a waste of a draft pick. And no one in the NHL wanted him because he just has no work ethic or he had the skill. Obviously, he got drafted where the position he got drafted. I remember it was 10th overall, right? Yeah, I want to say it was 10th overall.
Yeah, something like
that. And there was other players too that got drafted after him that became superstars in the league that we can just go back and play that is go back in time. But he's just, I don't like him personally. All the stories that I've had when I had ties to that the Ducks organization and stories that I've seen firsthand, but he's a piece of crap. And for him to do that, and you know, I guess in that Finnish league too, Mike, that player wearing the golden helmet means that you're like a top scorer of the league. And him to just start punching you when your head's on the floor, punching your head on the ice, like come on, man. I'm all about fighting. I'm all about violence. I'm not sitting here. Like, you're not in the UFC. Like, once you go down, like, I believe in that unwritten rule. Once you go down, that's it. If you're two willing combatants willing to go and drop the gloves and fight, and one goes down, leave it at that. But you're punching continuously over and over. You're a defensive player that can cause really harm, especially a top player, too. What's more, like, frightening, too, is how long the refs took to get in there and get him. Mm-hmm. Like, I always complain about the NHL refs being, like, too premature to break up fights. But you're breaking up fights for two willing combatants. This one, they just kind of took their time, skated over there. And then none of his teammates came over there and did something. Because that is crazy to me. Like, I played a lot of sports growing up. I played pretty much everything. I don't care if I played baseball. If someone went at one of my teammates, I'd be the first one to go in there. The beer league I play in now, someone touches one of my teammates, it's game on for me. I don't even give a shit about getting suspended anymore. I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I just play hockey just for fun. It's beer league. I play it for exercise. So if I get banned from a league because I'm defending one of my teammates and one of my friends that I grew up playing with, then so be it. I have that pride in myself. But none of his teammates came up to him. Or none of the other guys' team came up to him and tried to do something. So I think the game should have been more of what he did, but there's only a few more seasons he'll actually be playing professional hockey, and he'll just be in a beer league, so screw him.
Yeah, the way the refs responded, it was kind of slow, like you talked about. And then the other thing is he pushed the other player down to the ground, which was fine, but then he has the guy down, and he rabbit punches him. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Over and over.
Yeah. I mean, the first one knocks off the helmet, and then he starts throwing more. I'm like, dude, once he pushed him down on the ground, then he could have just skated away, and he didn't. That's just disappointing. And you're right, he was drafted 10th overall for the Ducks. But I mean, I'd have to research all the draft picks, but
that's going to piss you off, though, Mike. It's going to piss you off knowing the Ducks could have had X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
and they were so keen on this guy, and it just didn't pan out. And I've always had, like, I don't know, I never, like, his skating too. His skating was an issue when he first got drafted. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, so.
And just, man, what a big waste.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look up all the draft picks and see the ones that didn't pan out, but if he's not the top one, he's definitely up there.
Yeah, he seriously has some mental anger issues to do that. Even I've been in fights in high school or street fights way back when I was younger, and I've never started punching or kicking someone on the floor. It just, like what goes through your mind to do that? Once the guy is dead, maybe because, like, the hockey, I've been playing hockey my whole life, and I have that kind of, like, respect instilled in me. Like, once the guy's on the floor, that's it, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. But that was just, that's terrible to see. I hope the other player is okay. I hope that there's no permanent damage, or hope he's not injured. I didn't really look into more of his injury, but it was just sucks to see that another negative thing of hockey has to come up. You have the skate to the throat. You have this, and it's still like these European leagues, but still that just kind of brings a negative attention to hockey, and it shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, and I'm with you. I don't think he'll be playing hockey that much longer. Just a couple other quick things before we close out. We had Chris Letang recorded 5 assists in a period. Like, holy crap, Eddie. I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently that's the second time it's happened in NHL history.
That's just crazy, 5 assists in one period. That's great. I wasn't even born when the last part that did this. Like, that's just nuts how he did. And you know what? I like him, too, because he struggled with his own health issues. I want to say he, like, had something going on where people thought he was not going to play hockey again. I want to say something with his heart.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't believe he still plays to that level he plays at. It sucks that the Penguins are in a decline right now, and it looks like they're not going to make the playoffs. But that's a big feat. I know these players don't care about personal records like that, like we do, but that's just still something that we have to – tip our hat to. And obviously, Mike, you like the Penguins too, so I'm pretty sure you're happy to see him kind of get that record that hasn't been made since 1984.
Yeah, that's crazy. 1984, Dale Hawerchuk. That's just crazy. That's a long time. But yeah, anytime you do something like that, that's amazing. You know, 5 assists in the period. Holy crap. The last little thing here is you have the World Juniors are going on right now. Unfortunately, the Ducks... God, this injury thing is kind of the theme also of the show, but you had Luneau get sick and he could not play. You had Port, who was involved in a minor league trade in the WHL, and he had an injury. He could not play. So the Ducks had 2 of their 5 prospects not in the World Juniors, but it's going on right now. Team USA looks very strong. They've won 3 games so far. But they're going to have a couple future locations. It looks like they're talking about 2025 in Ottawa and maybe 2026 in either Minnesota or Vegas, Eddie.
I can see Vegas. Vegas has the money. I mean, should you have 18, 19-year-olds being in Vegas, especially their status? They're not going to get carted anywhere. Probably not, but Vegas has the money, and they bring the league a lot of revenue. Vegas is going to be part of the National Hockey League moving forward until they probably get their baseball team. They'll cool off a little bit, but it's just like it's a destination that people want to be at. Players want it. Vegas has the money to pay and for everything, including, you know, little side money for the league for doing that. So I can see it being in Vegas. I'd be surprised it'd be in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Vegas would be the one that they would pick in 2026 for sure. So you still got that going on. You got the World Junior action going on. The Ducks are still rolling. They're still at home for a couple games, and they'll go on the road. Eddie and I are going to head out to that game against Arizona, and then we'll have a show in a couple weeks. But we appreciate the support. We hope you guys all had a good Christmas. We hope you have a good New Year's. 2024 is almost here. So with that, I got nothing else. Eddie, anything to close out?
Yeah, of course. You left off the most important thing of this show, fantasy hockey, Mike.
Oh, yeah. You got first you and second I, place right here.
You and I started down from like the mid, and we just fired up. So I'm in first leading it right now, and we're going to finish off this new year being number one. And then Mike just, Mr. I didn't want to play fantasy hockey for the longest time, is number two. It's just nothing. And then I get over to Mike's house earlier, and he's like complaining about how he didn't start the goalie. I'm like, I love seeing that passion. You're into it.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I got you playing fantasy hockey, so it's the only time you're going to start playing beer league hockey for a season or two. That's going to be fun. But yeah, I do, before you finish off your last thing, Mike, want to just answer one question from the Mighty Jerseys. He's asking about which player we're planning on getting on our customized 30th anniversary jerseys. Right. Thank you for listening. You always have questions. You always shoot me on the DM regarding hockey and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that. And I hope you and your family had a nice Merry Christmas. But on my 30th anniversary, I think I'll leave it blank for now. The jersey I'm going to wear tonight, I'm wearing a different one for the podcast, and I'll post a picture of it later. But I'm going to wear my custom, like, I guess my Mighty Ducks one. You'll see it, and you guys see us on TV later on the show. But, yeah, I'm planning to leave it blank for now. I don't want anything on it. Maybe my custom one or that one, maybe a future considerations. I'm going to get that done before the end of the season because I really want that. But other than that, I'm going to probably just keep it blank for now.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm leaving mine blank, though I did get my better half the Gudas jersey because she loves Gudas, so ended up getting her that one. So, but I'm with you. I'm going to leave it blank for now. And that'll do it for this show. First time we've done one together, so it was awesome to do it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll maybe try to do some more in-person shows together. But just thanks for the support. Like we said, hopefully you guys had a good Christmas. Hopefully you have a good New Year's as well. And as always, let's go Ducks!